Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 31, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. O thou that ever savest those whose trust is on thee estate, preserving them from all their foes, by thy almighty aid. And what follows, Psalter 31, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Philippians 3, the verses 1 through 16. And afterwards from the Confession of Faith, Article 13. Philippians 3, the first 16 verses. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, and not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, and not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that he may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. And nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Thus far the scripture reading. The Confession of Faith, Article 13, A Divine Providence. We believe that the same God, after he had created all things, did not forsake them, nor give them up to fortune or chance, but that he rules and governs them according to his holy will, so that nothing happens in this world without his appointment. And nevertheless, God neither is the author of, nor can be charged with the sins which are committed. For his power and goodness are so great and incomprehensible that he orders and executes his work in the most excellent and just manner. Even then, when devils and wicked men act unjustly, and as to what he doth surpassing human understanding, we will not curiously inquire into it further than our capacity will admit of, but with the greatest humility and reverence adore the righteous judgments of God, which are hid from us, contenting ourselves that we are disciples of Christ, to learn only those things which he has revealed to us in his word, without transgressing these limits. This doctrine affords us unspeakable consolation, since we are taught thereby that nothing can befall us by chance, but by the direction of our most gracious and heavenly Father, who watches over us with a paternal care, keeping all creatures so under his power that not a hair of our head, for they are all numbered, and nor a sparrow can fall to the ground without the will of our Father, in whom we do entirely trust, being persuaded that he so restrains the devil and all our enemies that, without his will and permission, they cannot hurt us. And therefore we reject the damnable error of the Epicureans, who say that God regards nothing but leaves all things to chance. Let us try to ask the Lord for an indispensable blessing. Our Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then by renewal on this Lord's day, then the doors of thy house have been opened, and we may place ourselves under thy holy word and eternal testimony. Then we have heard from the writings of our fathers the confession based upon thy holy word, that in thy providence, that thou rules over everything, that thou directs it to a certain end. O Lord, may it please thee to grant thy spirit that truly we may believe it, we may adore it, we may embrace it, and that we may humbly bow before thee with a desire that thy name may be glorified in us and by us. And, Lord, then thou knowest that thy providence, that it can seem so mysterious, if we are honest, not so much troubled therewith, Oh, when thou grantest so many blessings, when thou sendest prosperity, then it should even be a greater wonder. But when thou holdest those trying, those incomprehensible ways with us and our children, and then to be given to believe it and to submit it, Lord, then our fathers, then they have spoken of a special comfort for thy true people. Oh, when we have heard it, may many hearts have been examined and many prayers sent unto thee, the living God. Ah, that there have been souls that said, Ach, Lord, we cannot understand thy providence, the trials, the mourning, but, ah, Lord, may I now be included in that number, that I may belong to thy people. Lord, may it please thee to bless thy word, bless what was read in this morning hour, and wilt thou bless in this afternoon, that the number of those that may truly fear thee, that number may be increased in this afternoon. Oh, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000. And then thou was added daily unto the church as such as should be saved. Ah, Lord, we humbly ask thee, may there even be one in this hour, a boy or girl, a youth, middle-aged and elderly ones. Ah, may there have souls come up that was their prayer. Ah, that they have told me, Lord, we have went up to thy house so often, and I am still unconverted, even seems, that my heart is becoming colder. But, ah, may it now be the time that thou may work lovingly and powerfully by thy Spirit, that I may become one of thine. Lord, may it please thee to grant a richer time than thou was granted in the realm of nature, a springtime, a summer is approaching, everything looks so beautiful. Thou was granted gentle showers in the past week, for which we may acknowledge thee. Wilt thou send those showers of thy Holy Spirit upon us and our children? Ah, thou hast promised it in thy word. May it please thee to do it in a special way in this afternoon hour. And Lord, where thou hast begun, wilt thou further that work? Thy people are so dependent upon thy Holy Spirit. Without thee, they can do nothing. We have heard out of thy holy word of the confession and the desire of the Apostle Paul, not to excuse himself, but to be humbled thereunder, and with the desire that he may increase in the things of the Lord. Lord, may there not be a resting outside of a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God. Lord, remember thy church all over the earth, the established churches. Remember our theological school in this week. The two students hope to be examined under different circumstances. Wilt thou help the instructors, help the students, and gladden us with thy deeds. Remember the persecuted church, the church that is distressed. Then we commend unto thee that people in Nigeria, where there is so much mourning, the wounded, those that are overwhelmed, those that are filled with many fears in the daytime, in the night watches, may they be given to bow their knees and ask for thy gracious help and for thy protection, and that the solemn calling, that it may be used, that thy church may increase, that the blood of thy church, that it may be used for the coming of thy kingdom. Wilt thou remember and help thy servants with the consistories to guide, to lead, to comfort that people, to be given to point to the holy word of God. Remember the Jewish people. Take the veil off that nation. Remember all mission work, our mission field, thy servants, the team. Richly bless their labors. Wilt, O granted administrator, another church worker, in thy favor and with thy blessing. O Lord, remember the manifold needs. O wilt thou uphold the mourning ones with a large empty place, the places in the family circles. O wilt thou comfort them. O Lord, grant that they do not succumb. Remember our elderly ones, the care home with those that care for them, those in their dwellings, those that may come up to thy house. O wilt thou remember the sick and afflicted. Remember the old mother still in the hospital. Thou wast still spared. Thou art strengthening. May it be for the purpose of all purposes, for the saving of her soul. Remember the crosses. Remember the burdens. And now, Lord, then in this afternoon hour, may our eyes truly be upon thee. Wilt thou open thy word? Wilt thou open our mouth? Wilt thou open the heavens? Wilt thou open our ears? And wilt thou open our hearts? It is all thy work. Wilt thou remember all the hears? Wilt thou take away everything that could be a hindrance? Grant a good hour together. And, Lord, we have to confess, all undeserved, it is all sinned away. May we be more ashamed, more grieved, more confounded, more like the publican in the back of the temple. Lord, may the outgoing of this service be for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy name. We ask it in the forgiveness of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 303, the three stanzas. The Lord unto us Christ has said, sit thou at my right hand, until I make thy enemies submit to thy command. A scepter prospered by the Lord, thy mighty hand shall wield. From Zion thou shalt rule the world, and all thy foes shall yield. And what follows? 303, 1, 2, and 3. in this afternoon hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Acts 9, the verses 1, 2, and 3. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Our text words speak of an unconverted soul with four thoughts. Firstly, the blessed time in which Saul lived. Secondly, the religious education which Saul received. Thirdly, the bitter persecution which Saul wielded. And fourthly, the blessed light which Saul needed. An unconverted soul. The blessed time in which Saul lived. The religious education which Saul received. The bitter persecution which Paul wielded. And the blessed light which Saul needed. Thus first, the blessed time in which Saul lived. A beloved congregation, when in this afternoon we hope to speak of Saul, and when the Lord granteth it, then further to consider his wonderful conversion and his calling, then it can be that amongst us and our children, that there are conceptions and thoughts that need to be corrected. Because for many, when we think of Saul in his former life, a bitter persecutor of the church, that many saints have been put to death because of his actions, then perhaps many of us, then we stand miles above Saul. Saul, such a terrible persecutor, an awful man, and we and our children still respectable, I hope. We do not give offense by the common goodness of the Lord, that we may have great respect for God's word and that perception that also needs to be corrected in our mind, but above all in our heart. Because there is a text in the Bible, there is a people upon the earth, not that they do not believe God's word. Of course, to truly believe it, the immediate working of the Holy Spirit, we have read out of the confession of the wonderful providence of the Lord. What a special grace to be given to believe it, adore it, and even greater, to bow and submit to it. But now there is a text in the Bible that there are times, that is not the experience so often, but when they are uncovered deeper and deeper and given to see all the blessings, the callings, what they are, what they remain, then they are given to say, Lord, that text that I cannot agree with. You know what text that is, boys and girls? There are people that understand it. 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Has that ever taken place, congregation? So deeply uncovered, and to be given to behold our sins before a good-doing and a just God, that you were given to us, Lord. Is it now possible for such a sinner as I am to be saved? Because we need to become a sinner. And what Saul has experienced, the Lord is so free and sovereign, the manner, the way, the time, but the church has the same teacher, that is the Holy Spirit, and the textbook is the Bible. Then it can also be the thought, maybe among some of our young people. Many books have been written, biographies of people of God concerning the way that the Lord has led with them, and many of them of a people that has went far astray, maybe left the church, maybe spent time in bars, movie theaters, other places where they did not belong, desecrated the Sabbath day, and the Lord, by his power, irresistible grace, has stopped, turned, drawn, converted them, and taught them in the things of the Lord. And then it can be, maybe for some of our people, that the thought has come in our mind that perhaps those people, they have a greater chance. We know there is no chance, but in the way of our reasoning, that they have a greater chance of being converted than we, who never leave our place empty, read our Bible every day, also personally, bow our knees, and by the common goodness of the Lord, are kept from going into the world. But when we consider the scriptures, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were converted, and boys and girls, we would say they were all in church. And we have one example of Saul. Thus let that be clear instruction. In the Bible, one parable in Luke 15 of the prodigal son. Let us always remember that it is the common way of the Lord, when we are brought up in the church under the truth, for the Lord to keep us under the truth and to work lovingly and irresistibly by his Holy Spirit. The Lord has promised in a special way to work in the midst of the church. The examples are written in the Bible, and also those examples continue of the Lord's wonderful and amazing way that sinners, as it were, from the ends of the earth, that they may be converted. That is for the encouragement for prodigal sons and prodigal daughters, and also their parents, their families, and office bearers. But it is not the general way. If we think in the congregation, how many prodigal sons and daughters, when they have left the church, how many have returned? And not so many. And therefore, when we consider Saul, may it be deeply impressed upon our hearts, the normal way that the Lord, to be under the external administration of the covenant, what a great blessing and what a great privilege, but too short for eternity. And then we need the same work in our hearts as Saul has experienced. When we speak of Saul, then, boys and girls, then you know that he received another name, Saul. That was his Hebrew name, and that name means to be desired. Oh, undoubtedly, that his parents have prayed for a child, they have received the child, and they called him Saul. Oh, he was desired. And now the wonder. Oh, the one-sided work of free and sovereign grace. Because we hope to hear in this afternoon that Saul has not desired the Lord, unless his dear son, unless to be saved by free and sovereign grace. Ah, the wonderful Saul was that he was desired by the Lord, chosen by the Father in his sovereignty, chosen by Christ, that he may become a partaker of those wonderful blessings, and that the Holy Spirit would be sent forth to make indwelling in the heart of Saul. After his conversion, and especially because we read in Acts 13, verse 9, then we read that Saul, who was called Paul, that was his Roman name, and that name means to be little. Oh, Paul, Saul has learned. As a Pharisee, he was great, and he stood above many people. But by the grace of God, then he has learned to become little and to remain little. What a work the Spirit has to bring his people low and to keep them low. Nevertheless, a necessary and a blessed place to come. And now our first thought, the blessed time in which Saul lived was in the gospel dispensation, in the Old Testament, was so veiled, was so hidden. Oh, it is true. In the Old Testament, when they may receive light, then it became clear. And nevertheless, the fullness of time where the Lord Jesus Christ was born, suffered and died, resurrected, ascended into heaven, and on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 converted. We have also commemorated Pentecost. Would there now be one that could say, it has become different. My desires and longings for the living God. And then we read in Acts 4 that the number soon increased to 5,000. And we even read more wonderful things. Four times in the first chapters of Acts, we read of the church that it was multiplied. Our boys and girls that are a little older with arithmetic, then first you learn how to add. And when we add, then the number increases. But when you come a little further in school, then you learn to multiply. And then it goes much faster. And that is now the term that was used four times in the book of Acts, that the church was multiplied. May we be given to beg the Lord for such a time, that great God, that he may do great wonders amongst us and our children. Young and old, we need to be converted. We need to become a sinner. We need to become a great sinner. We need to be a sinner that is washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when must that take place? Is that our question sometime, congregation? Are we troubled therewith, my unconverted fellow travelers? Are there times that there are sleepless hours and that you are given to tell the Lord, Lord, so many blessings, so many sermons, and so many callings, and Lord, could not the Lord say unto us, what more could I do to my vineyard that I have not done unto it? COVID, last summer, young and old ushered away different ways into eternity. It can be multiplied out. Then we read in the first chapters of Acts, or very soon begins in Acts 2, we read of mocking. But in Acts 4, there we read of the bitter persecution, especially of the leaders. After the lame man was healed, then Peter and John, they were brought before the council. They were questioned. Then they used the opportunity to proclaim the riches of the gospel. Then we read in Acts 4, verse 12, that there is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved than the name of Jesus. Oh, then for the council, for the Sanhedrin, then we read in verse 13 that they perceived that they had been with Jesus and that only increased their enmity. Oh, then in chapter 5, they were put in prison, but the Lord has done wonders. The prison doors were opened and they were given to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Oh, in Acts 6, then because that there was a murmuring because the widows of the Grecians, there are many ways that division can come in the church. And then they have appointed those deacons And also with Stephen, he was given to speak of the wonderful things of the Lord. Oh, then we'd read also of a Saul, because a Saul was of Cilicia, that they have withstood him, but they could not withstand his wisdom. And then Stephen, by the work, by the power of the Holy Spirit, was given to speak of the wonderful things that the Lord has done in the days of old, but how that Jesus has come. And then he was given the application, oh, that they were uncircumcised in heart, that as the fathers has withstood, so do you. Then they have gnashed upon them with their teeth. And then we also read that Paul was present. But now the wonderful work of the Lord. Then for those enemies and even for those persecutors, the first crossword. What is the first crossword, young people? Of Jesus. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Stephen has also prayed in chapter 7, verse 59, lay not this sin to their charge. Thus it was the privilege of Saul to live in a special time, a rich time, where the Spirit was working so wonderfully, so powerfully. Many wonders were done by the apostles. We live in such a time. Our second thought, the religious education which Saul received. Everything is not exactly written in the Bible. The general thought is that Saul was shortly born a few years after the birth of Christ. And considering all the dates, not so many dates, but concerning the leaders that are mentioned in the book of Acts, concerning the missionary journeys of Paul, and laying them beside what history tells us, and tracing back, then the general thought is that Saul was converted in his early 30s, some years after the day of Pentecost. Then we read Paul, was given to relate certain things in his testimony when he was brought before the leaders later in the book of Acts. Then Saul was born in the Gentile city of Tarsus, about 450 miles north of Jerusalem, on the northeast shore, a little away from the Mediterranean Sea. He was born of parents. He has testified that his father was a Pharisee. He has received the Roman citizenship, also the special providence of the Lord. Undoubtedly, as Saul, when he was young, maybe did not think so much of it, that he was a Roman citizen. But later in his life, then he was given to see the special providence of the Lord, that Roman citizenship was of advantage to him when he was arrested, when he was placed in custody. Then in the city of Tarsus, they tell us, history tells us, a university, an important, well-known university. There was much knowledge in that city. But of course, in a university, we can learn much. but we cannot learn the wonderful things of the Lord. We must be taught in the Bible. Because they read in Hosea 4 verse 6, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. The devil, he loves ignorant people. Then it is so important for us and our children that we are taught in the truth of God's word with the prayer that they may be taught, accompanied by the work of the Holy Spirit. Then we have read out of Philippians 3, where Paul, because his later name was Paul, that he was given to write to that congregation of his former life, we would say, his credentials. And then his soul had much to say. And then when we consider what he has stated, oh, it is true, there was much ignorance. But when we consider those things, then maybe in this afternoon, we shall not place ourselves so far above Saul, I hope, that we may come underneath Saul. And what did Saul now write, Paul now write, to the church of Philippi, in Philippians 3, the verses 5 and 6. A circumcised the eighth day. Although his parents lived far from Jerusalem, in a Gentile city, it must have not been so easy with that Greek culture, because also in the time of the early church, they had their sports theaters and different places of wickedness, immorality, and not so easy for the Jewish people to live, especially in those faraway places. But circumcised the eighth day, a privilege. Paul has written to the Romans, in Romans 3, 1 and 2, what advantage then hath the Jew? And what profit is there of circumcision, much every way chiefly, that the oracles of God were entrusted unto them? And we have now been baptized, bearers of the name of a triune God, under the external administration of the covenant, a great privilege. Do we think about it? Do we see it as a privilege? And does it bring us on our knees? What makes us to differ from the millions, the billions upon this earth, that of no longer the truth? Former generations where there were people of God, and even in the time of one generation, two generations, turned complete heathens. And the Lord has granted a special promise, promised to work in the confines, the same as the Old Testament. There are those that try to make a complete separation between the Old and New Testament, and say that the Lord works differently in the New Testament. But the great privilege as the children of old, even to have a place in the tent of an Israelite at the uttermost part of the camp, where Balaam has declared in Numbers 24 verse 5 that man had a deep impression of the blessedness of that people. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. My dear youth, shall you never, never depart from the truth? That is a terrible thing, when in the Lord's special providence, like a soul, have been born under that external administration, and then to say to the Lord, I'm not interested. I'm choosing for an easier way to heaven or the world. As circumcised the eighth day, thus then we can place yourself beside Saul. Secondly, of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin. Also our forefathers, our parents, most of us, nearly all of us and our grandparents, they have been brought up under the truth. Thus still similarities with Saul. A Hebrew of the Hebrews. Thus as Saul was given to say, if there was now an Hebrew that stood for the old ways, then it was me. Exceptional, could be seen in the church that a Saul had a great concern for the church. How is it with us? An Hebrew of the Hebrews. In our outward department, can our little boys and girls see that is now a youth? It's a father and mother, grandparents. Maybe not speak so much, but it can be seen in their life. Great respect for God's holy word, for his institution, for his day. Respect for God's people. Love and respect for the church. Maybe then already there comes a little separation. Maybe then there are those that say, no, I cannot say that I am a Hebrew of the Hebrews because of my religion, to be honest, does not have such a large place. Go to church, read the Bible, instruct my children. You do that, parents, right? You take time, special time with your children around God's word. Sing together and pray. But no, in Hebrew of the Hebrews, that I do not dare to say. Oh, sometime I am quite sure that I grieve those that love the walls of Zion well. A Hebrew of the Hebrews. And then further, touching the law, a Pharisee. Who were the Pharisees? In the time of Christ and in the time of the book of Acts, there were different groups of leaders that had a prominent place. They were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Essenes. The Pharisees, we could call them the formalists. The Sadducees, they were more free thinkers. They did not believe in angels and spirits and in the resurrection. The Essenes, they were like the Puritans. They felt they had to live secluded, separate from the world. But was it now wrong to be a Pharisee? Who are now the Pharisees? They were people that have originated in the time of Epiphanius Antiochus in the year 169, a little before, then concerning the Jewish people. Then the Syrians, they have conquered them and made it very difficult for them. But then the Lord has raised up the Maccabees and his sons, and by with the help of the Lord, then the Lord has given a great deliverance from those enemies. Oh, the Jewish people, they have lived in such distressful times that in that time it was forbidden for parents to circumcise their little boys. And then they have realized that the Lord was speaking unto them, that the Lord has permitted those enemies to conquer them and to distress them. Oh, the temple was closed. They even tell us that pigs were offered. And then there were people that have realized that there must be a returning and that they must remain a separate people. And they now became the Pharisees. Thus the beginning was good. But now how was it with the Pharisees? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, he has come very strongly against the Pharisees. Then it is recorded that the Pharisees, beside the holy word of God, they also had a book where there were many laws added to the word of God, of course. Now our boys and girls must not say father and mother. What you tell us, that is not all written in the Bible. An example, fathers and mother tell their sons and daughters, you must be home at a timely time at night, all proper. Of course, not all written exactly in the word of God. But now the Pharisees, they have added many laws that they were loopholes and excuses concerning the law of God. And to that end, the Lord Jesus Christ has spoken so strongly against them. According to the law of Pharisee, thus we would say, Saul, although there were many heirs, but as a young man, then he had respect for the word and for the law, how it exactly was concerning all those other laws, but that he was zealous for the law of God. Maybe now there are more people that are not standing so high, maybe not so far above Saul, maybe on an evil plane. How is it with the word of God and with the law of God, even in an outward way? Or are there those that have to confess, Lord, then I have to place myself under Saul, because I cannot say what Saul has confessed, Philippians 3, touching the law of Pharisee, and to further explain it, the righteousness which is in the law, blameless, was his thoughts at least. It was so that in the church, they could not say, Saul, you have been to a wicked place, or openly, you were sinning against the law. Oh, of course, Saul was very ignorant, was his thoughts. When the Spirit has come, then it has all become different. Nevertheless, then we read in that confession that Saul had a special place in the church, a zealous for the things of the Lord. As Saul has received a good education, privilege, a blessing, of course, for our girls, always with the mindset, education is not wrong. Do not know what the future always holds in. but with the education of our girls, always with the mindset that if in the providence of the Lord, that you receive a husband and family, not a career woman, but as a mother at home. Josephus tells us that the Jewish people have prided themselves that there was no nation upon the earth that have taken so much care concerning the education of their children. And that began when they were very young. That is a good time to begin, parents. And then sometime we are surprising what our little children can remember and understand. Of course, must be blessed. We cannot convert our children. That is the Spirit's work. But the Spirit works by word and by Spirit. And then it is written in the Talmud, the Jewish book, that a father, he was required to do three things concerning his children, concerning sons. In the first place, to be circumcised, as the command was given in the Old Testament. In the second place, to teach him the word of God. And in the third place, to teach him a trade, because he must become the breadwinner. It's even been said when he was not taught a trade, then he would be made a robber. And now with Saul, he was instructed from his early youth. But then when boys, when they became 12 or 13 years, there are children that are 12 or 13 years amongst us. Then those sons, they became sons of the law. And that means that they became fully responsible regarding the word of God. It's at quite a young age. Also instruction for us and our children. Sometimes strange expressions are heard. Unbiblical expressions. When youth live not so close to the Bible, then sometime you hear they are young, we have also been young. They are not old yet. It's not biblical. Among the Jewish people. And young people are also responsible. And young people need to be converted. We have experienced that death also takes the young away. And now Saul, likely at the age of 12 or 13, then his father, maybe he was given to see that his boy was a very gifted and talented boy. The one has more talents than another. And the Lord requires that we use the talents that the Lord has given. The one more with his mind and another more with his hands. And now it is recorded in the scriptures, then it is evident that Saul was sent to Jerusalem, or possible that his parents have also moved to Jerusalem, that Saul may further be instructed in the law of the Lord. And then he is sat at the feet of that doctor of theology. His name was Gamaliel, a name that was well known, a gifted teacher. There he has been further instructed concerning the law of God. Then it is clear from what Saul has written, that he had a great concern and love for the church, was very mistaken. He needed light. Nevertheless, a concern and love for the church. When there were things that were wrong, then he was sad. When he saw world conformity, undoubtedly, he was very grieved. When there was a male members meeting, he would always be there. Thus, a few things, very mistaken. Do you know what Saul thought? If anyone would come in heaven, it would be him. Oh, he needed light. Nevertheless, when we have heard these things, then I think that in this afternoon, that we maybe have different thoughts, that we do not place ourselves so high, but maybe many that place themselves under Saul. Nevertheless, we all need the same thing. Oh, the trouble with Saul. He would learn it in such a special way that by the works of the law, with all his righteousness, filthy rags before the Lord. Let us sing of Psalter 224. Let us only sing 1 and 6. O God, no longer hold thy peace, and no longer silent be. Thy enemies lift up their head to fight thy saints and thee. And what follows, 224, only 1 and 6. An unconverted soul. The blessed time in which Saul lived. The religious education which Saul received. And now thirdly, the bitter persecution which Saul wielded. Then we have heard that religion played a large part in the life of Saul, and that he was not as many other Pharisees, because we read that Christ has spoken woes upon the Pharisees, that there were even those that said to the people, do, and they did it not themselves. That does not work, fathers and mothers. The example plays such a large part. Then a soul, then he was not found in places of wickedness. You would not find him in a sports stadium or in a bar. But he had an impression that he needed to get to heaven. That was the most important. That would only count at the end. And therefore, what an effort he has put forth. Oh, for many Pharisees, then it was more their outward appearance to appear pious before the people to stand on the corners of the street praying, but their inward life and their heart did not matter. But from what a soul was given to relate to the church of Philippi, then a soul was a serious boy. Oh, then it is implied that Saul believed that he had a soul, that he was traveling to eternity. And now with everything that he has done and not done, then Saul hoped to end in heaven. Oh, how ignorant that Saul was. How is it with us, congregation? Where shall we spend eternity? What is our hope based upon? Do we have a well-founded hope? Or do we have secret hopes? Undoubtedly, our conscience still speaks, but we see what an instruction. A soul thinking it was not so bad. Oh, undoubtedly, there were times that his conscience still spoke. But he hoped that it would all be well. And if Saul had now died as a self-righteous Pharisee, what an awakening it would have been to hope to enter open doors in heaven. And then the door is shut, and the doors to hell, they are for us. Do we think of those things? Undoubtedly, Saul. That's why he was so zealous, was concerned about these things. What is our hope? Must be a hope according to the Word of God. Do you know what we need, congregation? To experience the same as Saul has experienced. But now first our third point, few words, and then we shall close. As Saul has written to the Romans in chapter 10, verse 2. And then, of course, many times Saul, when he has written, so it is with preachers when they preach to the congregation. They also preach to themselves. Then Paul has written, they have a zeal, but without knowledge. And now we must understand that Saul has lived in a time of transition from the Old Testament, the temple service, the priesthood, the sacrifices, and everything that pertained thereto. And now what was proclaimed, the apostles, that was all finished, not necessary, simply to repent and believe. And for those that loved the walls of Zion well, and if they did not receive light upon it, when they loved was for that people quite something. For 1,500 years, their forefathers, the ceremonial laws, and now it was declared, it was not necessary no more. And is it not written in Proverbs 22, verse 28, remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. And Jeremiah 6, verse 16, as for the good way, walk therein, which is the good way, and thou shalt find rest for your souls. I hope, congregation and youth, that you may stand for the old truth and the old ways. Proverbs, it is written, meddle not with those that seek change, because the Lord does not change, and also the way that he converts his people. Thus, for Saul, it was blindness and ignorance that he was persecuting the church. And Christ has even said in John 16, the verses 2 and 3, he that killeth you thinketh that he doeth God's service. The soul, his thought was, the followers of Jesus, to him it seemed, to be a completely new doctrine. It was not. It was the fulfillment of the ceremonial laws. Then Saul thought in his blindness that with persecuting the followers of Jesus, he was doing God's service and that it was well-pleasing to the Lord. Of his teacher Gamaliel, we read that he was a teacher that was more mild, because at the end of Acts 5, when the apostles were brought before the Sanhedrin, then Gamaliel was given to simply say, if this work be of man, it shall come to naught, but is of God, we cannot withstand it. Have we ever become troubled with that text? Are there souls for whom that text have become exercised therewith, that we say, oh Lord, it has become different. But have I now begun with thee, or hast thou begun? Because if I have begun, if it is of man, shall all come to naught. But oh Lord, if it is now thy work, thou hast promised to never forsake the work of thine own hands. We must close. Saul, a bitter persecutor of the church. How the church in Damascus has trembled, because we read in this chapter when the Lord has come to Ananias, that he has told the Lord, Lord, his persecutors have received letters from the high priest to come to our city and to bind and to bring to Jerusalem. How that church in Damascus must have prayed. How they must have trembled. No answer yet has brought relief. But now, the wonderful works of the Lord. Oh, when there are a few souls that have learned, and then we shall confess it, that we no longer stand above Saul, but that we have to tell the Lord, oh Lord, nothing to boast of, and in the further uncovering to learn that we have to repent of our repentance. Filthy rags. But then this chapter, what an encouragement. The abounding grace of the Lord Oh, that for Saul, for ignorant ones, for mistaken ones, for lost ones, is there anything too wonderful for the Lord? Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, we have heard of one who thought that he was surely going to heaven, and he was so mistaken, then he needed light from above. And that is what each and every one of us stands in need of. A light in the beginning. Oh, that we may learn, that we may believe, that by nature we are so lost, that we are under thy wrath, that we have a soul, that we are traveling to eternity, that thou cannot overlook or forget one of our sins. But, oh Lord, thy people also need light, because they learn that they are so ignorant. They are given to ask whether such a one can still be saved. But, oh, thou as a people that learns that they need to be saved, where thou wast drawn with the cords of love, and to miss thee is worse than death, that they need a sacrifice, that learn that all their righteousnesses, that they are as filthy rags, Lord. Wilt thou work wonderfully and abundantly amongst us and our children, then thy name shall be glorified. Wilt thou watch over us in the furtherance of this day, bring us under the means of grace in this evening hour, and pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 427, the third stanza. The Lord's right hand is high exalted, a Jehovah strong and mighty hand. The vaunting enemy he halted, and made his chosen ones to stand. And what follows, 427, the third stanza.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.